Today we're reading from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, where the Bible says, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us.'" In the weeks and months that followed the resurrection of Jesus, you've got to wonder how much the people that ordered his death were hoping the whole thing would just blow over and that people would just get on with their lives. But after seeing Jesus alive, nothing could stop the disciples from preaching the gospel in the streets of Jerusalem. In the passage we just read, the disciples had actually been locked up in jail the night before in an effort to shut them up. But in the middle of the night, an angel opened the prison and turned them back out into the streets. Needless to say, the council was frustrated and angry. "Didn't we tell you not to preach anymore?" they said. "But here you are out in public, filling the streets with your doctrine." Now, I want you to think about that accusation because it says a lot about early Christianity and the way the church got started. The disciples were obviously ready to share the gospel with anybody who would listen. And when they looked at the city of Jerusalem, they knew the time was right because they did their preaching publicly and everywhere. All the city was buzzing with the words of the disciples. In the markets, in private homes, in fields, everybody was talking about Jesus Christ. To put it in modern terminology, the gospel had gone viral, which of course led to the main concern of the council. They said, "You intend to bring this man's blood on us." Now, think about that statement for a moment. Were the disciples really in the streets calling for the heads of the Sanhedrin? When you read the sermons of Peter prior to this point, you do hear him saying things like, "Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified." But what was Peter's point? Was he calling for a massive uprising and rebellion of the Jewish people against their leaders? Hardly. He wasn't trying to exact God's vengeance on these people. He was giving them an opportunity to change their hearts. He was offering a second chance. One thing that's obvious when you study the death of Christ is that it wasn't just the Sanhedrin or the Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross. On the contrary, when John the Baptist saw Jesus near the beginning of his ministry, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As the angry crowd called for his blood, they were doing it in behalf of a sinful, rebellious human race, a group of people that had sold out on their Creator many years ago. And if we look in our own hearts today, we'll find some of that same resistance to God that threw the wooden cross on Jesus' shoulders almost 2,000 years ago. You just can't help it. When faced with the person and teachings of Jesus Christ, you have to react somehow. Indifference isn't an option, because as He speaks, you actually hear the voice of God. And every time that happens, you make a decision. It's amazing how the rulers back in Peter's day actually knew of their responsibility in the death of Jesus, but then used their feelings to further harden their hearts. While scores of people were seeing what Christ had done for them and allowing Him into their hearts, the rulers, desperate to save face, were digging in deeper, which of course brings me to you. As you review the events of your own life and look at the life and death of God's Son, what's going on in your heart? Do you dig in deeper, refusing to allow God in? Or are you one of those whose lives is being changed every day by the story of a God who loves you enough to go to Calvary, if it means you could be in the kingdom of heaven? Looking at the early scene in Jerusalem and the outcomes of the disciples' preaching, you discover that only one of those options is really the better way to live.